Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here we go. It's hour number one. G-Bag Nation here. We're off and running on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks a million as part of your day here on a Thirsty Thursday. Crack him if you got him. There's Brian Braz, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. You have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control, ready to go. Five flawless. Wolchuk and Chiafalo are here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us on Twitch and YouTube, 105.3thefan.com. Get you taken care of. And I'm Gavin Dawson, along with you. We are the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. How about we talk Cowboys coaching search update? Some very interesting things transpiring since we last broadcasted with you. Let's go to the Twitter account of one Ed Werder. It says, regarding Deion, I'm told he would almost certainly accept if Jerry Jones offers to make him the next head coach, that those around him are encouraging him to pursue it. And that Jones is enamored with the idea.
Yeah.
Maybe this is realistic. Maybe this could happen. So that's exciting. Because it presents the idea that maybe Jerry Jones is a big fan of this. I wonder how that would play elsewhere in the building and how legitimate it becomes if Jerry's like, hey, I want to do this. We remember when he wanted Johnny Manziel, ended up with Zach Martin, you know?
Yeah.
Would Jerry want to take more of an ownership of this one and drive it home if he's getting dissenting opinions, as one Stephen Jones did when Deion was the best cornerback in the game, maybe the game's ever seen? Maybe he feels like, hey, you know, you were wrong back then, Steve. I'm going to put you in your place again. We're taking Deion Sanders down from Colorado. Wouldn't that be a hell of a story?
I love the idea of him still thinking that drafting Johnny Manziel would have been better than Zach Martin.
Oh, man.
That's great. Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, what do you think, Broadus? I mean, is Stephen Jones on board with the Deion Sanders? Wasn't he the one, which makes it funny that years ago he was the one that was begging Dad not to make the Deion move?
Yeah. Well, they have to satisfy the Rooney rule here. So it's not like you think like, wait, I'm hiring a black coach. No, you still have to satisfy the rule. So that's still going to be something they still have to in play. Robert Saleh, Leslie Frazier, that's going to be taken care of. And then now we'll see with the Kellen Moore possibility, where does Deion Sanders fall on the dance card here? You know, if Jerry is legitimately thinking about this, then, you know, we'll see here probably in the next week or so. But the order appears to be with the Saleh, Frazier, then Kellen Moore, then whatever happens after that. But yeah, if I believe that this was going to be one of these situations where maybe that was Deion was trying to squeeze Colorado out of more money. And there's a lot of people around the league that do believe that's exactly the case. But then you talk to like Ed Werder, and Ed Werder says, no, the Colorado is one of these, you know, Colorado's doing everything they can to make sure that whatever Coach Sanders needs, Coach Sanders gets.
I mean, going to get Deion is one of the Jerry moves that, you know, when he first took over, you would easily associate with him, you know? So maybe it's not that far-fetched.
No.
Right? This is a great way to keep your team very visible and relevant while you go through this rebuild over 100%. The next 1 to 2 years.
Especially Jane saying that he's on a little bit of a solo mission here. So maybe that means, like, hey, you guys can have a disagreement. You know, I don't know how Will would feel about it. I do think That's part of the Cowboys with drafting. They like to get input from the coach. So maybe that would excite Will McClay. Like, hey, here's Deion. I can work well with him. He was just in college. He played against a lot of these guys, coached some of them.
Hey,
maybe that could give
Jimmy.
Us some insight, and then we can have a hell of a draft. Maybe that could help. Maybe that. I don't know if Steven would be against it. Sounds like Jerry. This would be the most Jerry Jones move out of everything, would it not? I mean, to me, like the entertainment factor, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
Even if the team is not very good, and I think we're all expecting maybe even more regression. And the unknown with Dak. I mean, this is going to be fun.
Jerry could even like take a big step back and let Deion just promote the hell out of the brand and, you know, multiply your social media presence 100-fold. You know, I think there's a tremendous amount of benefit here for Jerry, you know, and you might also end up getting a hell of a coach at the same time. You know, so if I'm looking at it and I'm Jerry, I'm like, I don't know who's going to be a great head coach. You know, we can take guys that have won a Super Bowl somewhere else, but nobody's ever won a Super Bowl in two different spots. We can take the next hot coordinator, but those aren't working out that well. You know, it's about a 50-50 proposition. Nobody really wants Kellen Moore. How about we get Deion, make this the epicenter of the NFL coverage even more. And maybe he's got a good shot as anybody turning out to be a really good head coach.
And what's the staff like? Like maybe then him and Zim have a good relationship. Would Zim be willing to come back and be a defensive coordinator for Deion?
I just talking to Zim, you know, I know I had the report the other day, talking to some people in the organization, but Mike would definitely want the head coaching job. I don't know about him coming back as a coordinator, though. That would be something. And that's, I know talking to Mike, he absolutely would come back to be the head coach.
Okay, so you mentioned the Rooney Rule. I brought it up a couple of times yesterday. It just felt like we're going two Rooney Rules and then moving on to Kellen Moore and Mike Zimmer, right?
Right.
But then you add Leslie Frazier to it. Now we have three candidates. Mm-hmm. So either they're going out of their way to be like, no, it's not Rooney Rule. These are legitimate candidates. Or they're all legitimate candidates, you know? Because if you're just checking off Rooney Rule, you only need two. This is three. Which I think draws more credibility back into the Deion Sanders possibility. It allows more credibility for each one of those candidates.
Your Rooney Rulers would be Saleh and Frazier.
Why not Deion? Why didn't Deion and Saleh satisfy it? Why do we got to go Frazier?
Because the first two interviews you're doing are going to be Saleh and Frazier.
And then, it has to be technically an interview with the guy. It can't just be talking.
Like a cell phone conversation.
Yeah, it's got to be like a face-to-face.
So they got to bring those guys in. So in the order they're going to interview, Saleh and then Frazier, and then now you've satisfied. Now you can go.
Because I guess technically they haven't interviewed Deion. It was just Jerry and Deion
talking. It's just Deion and them talking.
Right, but if Deion's not a serious candidate and you're just interviewing him for the Rooney Rule, then you bring him down here and you talk about done. Yeah,
either way, it would be three options.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And either way, it makes your point true that Deion makes it more legitimate that he is a true candidate.
Yeah. I think the fact if they were to interview him after they do the two Rooney Rule, well, after they interview Saleh and then Frazier, and then if he's brought in, yeah, absolutely legitimate.
I mean, it could also mean that Deion doesn't want to come down here and be one of the Rooney Rule interviews, and that's already a ship that has sailed in his mind, you know?
Yeah, well, I do know, like, to the point of Broadus about, like, is this just a negotiating ploy for Deion to get more money with Colorado? Schefter was saying that he talked to Deion about that specifically, and Deion's response was, that ain't true, and I don't need any negotiating ploy. I'm me.
Huh. Very interesting. Okay, so that is a big one. Again, Ed Werder saying Jerry Jones enamored with the idea of bringing Deion Sanders in. And after the story, you know, appeared to be losing legs yesterday, it is back in a big way.
Yeah, I wish, because they're talking about Kellen Moore, you know, getting the interview as well.
Mm-hmm. And tomorrow, virtual, yeah.
And I wish that we were getting the same news on Aaron Glenn, because they're...
Well, they missed that window. Because the only way that they...
How can they do it with Kellen Moore and not Aaron Glenn?
Because he played last week. See, when you don't play... like
even though they're both playing this week.
Right.
Okay.
Last week, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, for say, weren't playing. You had to satisfy it then. Kellen Moore was playing, so to give Kellen Moore an opportunity to catch up, you have to give it to him this week.
And gotcha.
That's how they satisfy it.
Ed Werder also reported there's a very high probability, depending upon whom is hired as head coach, Jason Witten will be included in the coaching staff. So there's something else for you, Cowboys fans. I know a lot of people would be excited to have Big Witten back there on the sideline. Okay, yeah, the Kellen Moore angle, hopefully that's not real. I mean, the numbers that Chief had yesterday in the 520, just painting a picture of an offensive coordinator that's not going to do a very good job putting your quarterback in a position to make plays.
No, the Eagles offense has not been a good notch on the belt for Kellen Moore this year. It's not like he's taken this offense to the next level. This is the worst version of the Jalen Hurts Eagles passing attack that we've seen since he became a starter.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, and that, you know, that's all, you know, I think in spite of their success, you've had Kellen Moore doing what he does, but it's about the running game, it's about the great offensive line. And
the defense.
Yeah. And with those three things, you should be empowering your quarterback to take chances and make big plays, and he's doing the opposite. I think you would have a more conservative offense than maybe we'd ever seen.
Yes,
you
know? And it's the same issues. Their screen game is the worst version that it's been since Jalen Hurts got here. That was a problem when he was here, so that hasn't been something that's gotten remedied, even though they got great weapons and an awesome offensive line. You think that would be the ingredients to make that work, but he can't do it. And then he's being called out for poor passing concepts and a very minimal amount of them and a lack of creativity. This is right out of just studying what the Eagles are doing. I mean, just that Packers game, you had 121 net passing yards.
They were begging to be defeated.
And everybody is calling him out for it. Looks like the Packers corners are running the routes for the Eagles. Like, where have we heard that before? We know exactly what that is. We've lamented it for years.
And the slow starts. I mean, that was something that was always an issue with Kellen Moore here. Like, the offense would start
slow. The Eagles couldn't score in the first quarter for the first, like, half of the year or whatever this year?
Yes. Like, that was a stat that kept coming up every week. So, I mean, I do think it's obviously real. They're going to interview him tomorrow. It can't last more than 3 hours. It's going to be done virtually per Todd Archer. Or else, why would they talk to him? But I think that is one of the worst options that they're talking to right now. I mean, I don't earn it. Kellen hasn't earned it.
Yeah. No, 469 must be a Philly fan. So yes, the Eagles are in the playoffs, and the Cowboys aren't. You know,
in spite of Kellen Moore.
Yeah, and you know he had the benefit of a tremendous offensive line. I think it's the benefit of the best front office maybe in football. I mean, what Howie Roseman and those guys are doing and putting this thing back together. They had the great offensive line. Boom, here we got another one for you. You know, a few years later, Jason Kelce is gone, Jason Peters is gone, and they're like, bang, best offensive line in football once again. And I think that's, you know, probably the biggest difference, along with, you know, the draft that they were just able to pull off. Mavericks suffer an officiating brutality against the Pelicans. Missed goaltending call late. Looked clean live. You know, I thought maybe Spencer Dinwiddie could have been a little bit more decisive and anticipated a little bit better. But anyway, I don't want to let the refs off the hook. You know me. I never miss an opportunity to talk about their shortcomings. But I guess it's just my take that things have gotten so messy in the NBA with instant replay that I would just rather not have it and deal with those human errors that officials make, you know, so you could have just a little bit better finality to it. The thing with basketball, the ball gets deflected so much and moves so quickly in tight spaces with so many arms and bodies in the way of your view. It can be really difficult to tell even like who touched a ball last before it went out of bounds, because the ball's moving so fast it blurs across your screen and the hands a blur. I don't think basketball is a good example of where instant replay makes the TV product better. And last night maybe it robbed you of a victory. Not it makes no sense not being able to replay that when you replay so many other things.
Yeah, that's the big problem. I don't necessarily blame the refs here. Like you said, it's a tough thing to see in real time. I totally understand that. But the idea that that is not reviewable is just insane, dude.
The bright side of things, how about Gafford? He must have been listening to the show yesterday.
Well, yeah. That's what I was thinking the whole time. Yeah. Like, okay, Gaff brought the juice tonight.
Yeah.
Dude,
he certainly did.
He's good at the bounce back game. You know, this is not the first time where he struggled. He owned it afterwards, and then he showed up and was like the absolute best version of himself the next day. 12 of 13 from the floor, 27 and 12. Guy was unbelievable. It was Daniel Chamberlain last night. Hardy had 21. Dinwiddie was frustrating at times, but had 20. So they have tonight off and then have to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow. A defeat would put them at 22-20. The schedule doesn't lighten up much. Nope. This team is probably going to be below 500 mm-hmm. when they get Luka and Lively back. Do we have an update on Lively's ankle?
I haven't seen anything.
I've not seen one yet.
We'll probably have to wait for an injury report tomorrow.
Okay, Hollywood actors Ryan Reynolds, Rob McElhenney, and Eva Longoria among the investors in a group that has acquired Colombian top division soccer squad El Equidad out of Bogota, Colombia. Third team they've bought an ownership group in. This, you know, this is the Wrexham Group.
Okay.
They also bought Mexico's Necaxa last year. My there bad on go. The pronunciation, okay. Necaxa.
It's like the Oaxaca cheese.
Yes.
There's an X in there. It throws you off.
They made a splash in football buying Wrexham in 2021. Since then, Wrexham promoted twice, and they're in the running to do so again, sitting third in League One behind Tom Brady's Birmingham City.
Oh, look at this. Man, it's rivalry brewing here.
Yeah, we're throwing around American cash around international soccer now. And, you know, you got American versus American there in the top three in League One. And RIP to Bob Uecker passing on it at 90. I mostly remember him for his hilarious cameos in movies and the Miller Lite commercial. But a legendary career as an announcer since 71 for the Brewers, and had a 5 or 6 year career in the big leagues. A lot of people don't know. Hit 14 bombskis. Yeah. Okay, here we go, Nation. G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. A little sports hodgepodge next, Chief. Where are we going?
Yes, nothing but some great American news to bring you.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year in the Nation.
Yeah, welcome back, Nation. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. Thanks to those on the chat there clarifying it's Necaxa. You know, it's not Necaxa or Necaxa. It's Necaxa. Okay. They are the team that the Wrexham guys bought into.
Walchuk just bought a jersey.
There he is. Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was Necaxa.
A segment here brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. G-Bag of the Day now 8 minutes away. Here's the Chief.
Now, I promise nothing but great American news to bring you over the course of the next 8 minutes. All right, so I'm going to try and honor that. And we're going to start with the fact that there's an HEB that is set to open the first Dallas location. 10 acres have been purchased by the company near 635 and Hillcrest Road. HEB, Big D, Collision Course.
There we go. That's closer to me. Appreciate that.
We're out of the gates, right? Mm-hmm. Positive news all over. That's what we're bringing.
Absolutely.
HEB.
Now we got Garland, we got Plano, maybe Frisco, and now we're going smack dab in the middle of Big D.
Yep, and we got one in my neck of the woods there.
Okay,
super north Fort Worth, just
I
south
could
of
use
the Speedway
one out in Forney.
Bit.
You know,
out in Forney would really get it done for you. Well, yeah, nonetheless, it's exciting news, man.
I've been using a Target mostly as my grocery store, and I'm not complaining, but it does leave a little something to be desired in the form of fresh and artisan-type goods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understood. I hear you. So that's great. And then we have the FDA. Shout out to RFK. Ban the use of red dye number 3, which is used in thousands of food products and is made from petroleum. Hello.
Ooh.
It's been linked to cancer. Oh, and
They knew it about 3.5 decades ago. They just let it ride.
Yeah, they were. They were. I mean, I guess it's been banned from cosmetic use.
Yeah.
For quite some time, but of course, we've been allowed to consume it inside our bodies. You can't pat it onto your face or whatever from a makeup standpoint, Walchuk. I know it's been bugging you for a while.
It really has.
But you have been allowed to woof it down with some of your favorite meals.
Is it like huffing?
Yeah. Fruit Loops will never be the same.
No, no, that, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this just really changes the look of things. I don't know how much flavor it's really actually changing.
Yeah.
But the look of things, like maybe you order some strawberry milkshake and it doesn't necessarily look like a strawberry milkshake anymore, but it should still taste the same.
Okay.
From my understanding.
Maybe put some actual strawberries in there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, outside the box. So that's great news. And then how about Broadus loved this one. He ran into the studio and couldn't wait to share that those Zyn nicotine pouches he liked so much. Those have been approved by the FDA.
Proud sponsor of the Nicaragua
RFK
football
is like, we're going to trade out the red dyes, and we're going to let you hang on to those beloved nicotine pouches.
He didn't make
Broadus.
That red dye move, did he? He's not even in yet.
This is from, I don't know exactly, I guess, the process of how it works, but I feel strongly that this is an RFK impact.
They're getting ready for it because it's inevitable at this point.
Yeah, and you still have, I mean, food manufacturers will have until January 15th of 2027 to fix their product. So it's not like this is going to be an overnight switch by any means. But yeah, I don't
really
know the process.
So what's this mean for the Zyn? Lowered risk of cancer and other serious health conditions compared to cigarettes?
Yeah, in this case, the data show that these nicotine pouch products meet that bar by benefiting adults who use them. And I guess the FDA must have sufficient evidence that the new products offer greater benefits to population health than risks.
So it's like a nicotine patch, but for your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you can get a coffee flavor and everything. I hear that one's really, really, really good.
Oh, great. Because
I can feel it charging me up pretty good. I can't imagine that's totally perfect for you, but it's just not bad.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's some blood pressure stuff that you want to make sure that you're dotting your I's and whatnot on. But that is all happening in real time. Okay, now let's also, does this surprise you? Because don't you feel like both of these programs that are about to collide for the Natty, Notre Dame and Ohio State, are they like beloved or are they like sort of hated on, right? Don't they both? Other than their own fan bases, we love to S on both of these programs.
I think Notre Dame is more beloved across the nation.
Especially because they've been so average for 3 decades.
Yeah, they call them the Subway alum, you know?
Okay, so you feel like Notre Dame has been well-liked and this isn't just a change?
They're well-liked by the nation. The problem is there's the fan base. There's a certain group of college fans that are not Notre Dame fans. So they're very much, they got the kind of the Dallas Cowboy mystique to them.
Right.
That's, you know, that they...
They got a lot, plenty of, the haters are loud.
Plenty of love, but plenty of loud, though, too.
Right.
Against, yeah.
Because Bet Online has their rooting interests based on geotagged X data, whatever, and 48 of the 50 states are pulling for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We're sort of in a it's
the Ryan Day.
Anyone but Ohio State.
It might be the coaches.
Freeman appears to be a very likable guy.
That's what I was thinking. That was kind of what I was wondering. Is like this feels like, because if Brian Kelly's the head coach of Notre Dame, I don't know if it's 48-2.
That's why they were very hated.
Yeah, I think there might be something to do with that. But I think it's also just that you start to hate the most successful teams. You know, and something new, something with some history and tradition to it. I mean, they haven't killed anybody's dreams in a long time, Notre Dame.
You hate the fact that they were on NBC for all those years, you know.
Yeah, but
they haven't won since 88. Yeah. Like, it's a long time.
Four decades, wow.
I feel like they're due, just nationwide. We feel like, okay, you guys, go ahead.
I think Ryan Day is about to give the nation the middle finger here. I think Ohio State's going to win this thing.
You think they're going to run away with it?
I think it's going to be pretty substantial.
Smack them around.
There's no question they're more talented. I mean, they're the most talented.
Ryan Day is about everybody that tried to fire him and all that, the Lou Holtz and stuff like that. Everybody, he's about to give everybody the middle finger.
We'll get to Lou later.
Yeah,
dude, I thought that was... Lou I'm Holtz still is, not convinced that's not a ball sacking.
That well, that was like AI that, Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz is getting in the mix
hey,
on
he
this,
he sat
man.
There for 5 minutes. I watched the entire video. And you understand about 3 minutes of it.
Hey, but these deep fakes, bro, they're
it's
deep.
True. We'll play about a minute of it
was
during
it very
the Chuck
lispy?
Wagon later.
Was it
very
lispy?
Lispy. It sounded just like
okay,
him.
Okay, if it's lispy, it's probably him.
But I got to give
you do a don't you do a limited fake sort
no,
of?
No.
Lou Holtz?
No.
Ty Schmidt from the Pat McAfee Show, he's the go-to Lou Holtz. That guy is phenomenal.
Does he
at
do
it.
One?
He's the Lou Holtz.
Oh, dude, yeah. We got to find some sound of that.
He's,
I would
he's
love
tremendous.
To hear. Yeah. That's fantastic. Okay, so I guess we're talking about hard work versus talent in this particular national championship. Is that what we're doing here? Ohio State, of course, with the talent.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's going to have to scratch and claw. They're going to have to gut something out here. No, they're going
to
need a gritty
and they've gutted it out to get there. So good for them.
Yeah, great for them. EA Sports has announced College Football 26. We'll be here this summer.
Yes.
Have you played a single second of 25?
Played three games, baby.
Okay. Because I haven't gotten to play it at all.
0-3.
I mean, so, once you're dadding, your video game time is all but eliminated.
Yeah,
I took shriveled. I took about 9 years off when Abby was born. I got back into it for about 18 months, and then Remy was born. I'm back to being Dunsky, you know?
Yeah,
Xbox,
dude.
Gaming PC, just sitting there.
Little kid's not going to allow for that.
No.
The
wife's not going to allow for that.
No. Yeah, no, 100%.
She'll look over and she'll be like, what are you doing?
Nah.
Yeah, that's
good
news. Quality time.
Did you like the gameplay for 25?
Yeah, it was good. Smooth.
You got smoked?
I suck.
Yeah.
At some point around 9 or 10 years old, that kid is going to walk into their room and close the door and kind of do their own thing for hours at a time. That's when you get back in. If you want to. If you want to. Right? Yes.
Don't
a giant exhale. Okay.
Stop dirty talking me.
Coming up at 2:40, we'll have your NFL news today. Sean Merriman at 3 o'clock. Time now for the G-Bag of the Day in the Pink Cup. Here's Luchas.
Where them haters at? Where them haters at? Where them haters at? Damn. Hey, shout out to the CBD American Shaman guy that dropped off that box.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Eric, you're the man.
Salute.
He's got his store in McKinney. And he said he put up the G-Bag Nation, pure gold as always, and the Whataburger flag. And every day somebody comes in, there's like, Tolo, bro.
He's the greatest Eric of all
Beautiful.
Time.
The greatest Eric of all
Eric
time.
Eric with a K.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on with my hotkeys,
cuz? Oh, no.
Wait a minute. Here we go.
There it is.
Yeah, I got this geek bar and all types of other CBD stuff. Yeah. Okay. I got one charging up, brother. I appreciate it. Yeah. And I've been off these geek bars for like 2 weeks, and here it is. It's free laying right there.
Are they tasty?
Yeah, I had this first thing opened up. I'm scratching.
I had the same reaction.
Yeah.
I picked up the box. I played with it. I looked at it, and then I told Woolchuck, yep. Not saying no to nicotine today.
I'm back.
Yeah. I was scratching my neck looking at it like, oh, okay, I see one. There's about four of them in here. All right, this has been the most requested audio I've had ever in G-Back of the Day audio from every application I have, every social media page I have. This is in the DMs or I'm being tagged in it. AI Jerry is our winner. Was this day two?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, day two.
All right, day two. Yeah, AI Jerry right here on why he moved on from Coach McCarthy.
I fired Mike McCarthy because he looks like a pork chop. And I hate that big-ass play call sheet he holds during games. We all know it's a Perkins menu. I'm not even sure we need a coach. Hell, maybe we already have a coach in mind. Maybe he's sitting right in front of you, half drunk on Johnny Walker Blue with only an Egg McMuffin in his belly and a pocket full of dinger pills. Maybe he's 82 years old and needs his ass wiped from time to time, depending on how much Salisbury steak he's ate. Look, I'm going to do things my way, and my way is f***ing terrible. But if you don't like it, then tough he said the kitty, but the milk kept coming. Listen, I'm never going to die, mother. I drink 8 ounces of hog's blood every day, and I'm a vampire feeding off mass disappointment. So learn how to accept meaningless primetime games forever. What I'm looking for in our next head coach is someone that values analytics and also someone that lets me take he and his wife to a Hojo's and sit in the cuck chair.
Well, sure, Jerry.
That is amazing. Now, to come up with AI Jerry, does somebody have to write that script for the AI to
produce, or is there like a little bit of mix of both? Because there were some bars in there,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I know. We were wondering about that. I feel like that's like maybe some buzzwords get thrown in, and then
and they go
AI
to work from there.
Goes to work.
There's two different ways you could do it. Some of the new AI, which they call AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, could be more autonomous and kind of workshop something like that on their own. But that would be really high level AI engineer man right now. So my guess would be they have a voice replicator and a script, man. If I had to bet, but it could be either.
Hey, if you wrote that script, please stand up.
Hilarious.
Please stand
up. You need to be on Saturday Night Live, bro.
Or like
start your own Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You can write for some of the roasts.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get this popping off real quick on a Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday on a hump day, a butt naked Wednesday, we go to KMC Masterpiece. Kevin was cussing and all.
Yeah. He did.
Oh, okay. Well, he was telling a story about how he wanted to be a lawyer when he was younger. And he got some advice from a real lawyer. Now, the advice from a real lawyer is real keen advice. He knew what he was looking at when he was talking to Kevin.
Yeah.
One of them pulled me to the side and said, is this really what you want to do with your life? Like, do you really want to be a lawyer? And I said, yeah, I think I really do want to be a lawyer. And he goes, all right. I think if you work really hard, you could do it. But don't ever become a defense attorney because you're just not a naturally sympathetic person.
And
be a prosecutor.
I thought that was a great bit of advice where you're supposed to feel bad for the defendant maybe. And they're like, oh, he might be innocent, but I hate his.
Oh, wow. Oh, this is a fun show today. Let's go.
Freaking guts.
Okay, I pushed the button too.
He's talking about the dog.
But I'm gonna argue. I stop short.
You want to be on the Pac-Man Jones podcast?
That word.
It was like three of the four words he got out, or letters to that word he got out. We're sure.
Well, if you got the third letter, you know, it might as well be the fourth.
You said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said a slang version of it.
He's like, I just only got to the C, I promise.
Come on.
That's what you tell him.
The K was silent.
Didn't say the K.
And that's obvious when you hear it.
Seriously, come on.
Yeah, that's wild, bro. That's what I got. I like that. That's funny, Kevin. And the lawyer, he was so keen. He knew what he was looking at. He's like, hey, man.
Seriously.
You just don't have a heart, okay?
So, how do you know? You know this lawyer?
You just don't have a heart, bro. All right, let's see here. Coach Prime. Coach Prime tweeted that he wanted that blazer that Greg Anthony had on the other night during the Mavs game. So Greg Anthony, it was a snazzy little blazer, too. Greg Anthony took it off and gave it to Shador, which was courtside, during the game.
Yeah.
And the man was doing play-by-play of this giveaway. Shout out to this dude.
Powell is bleeding, and apparently Jared is now taking your jacket.
I think he'll give it to Shador to give it to his dad.
He's giving it to Shador. Shador is very perplexed. Jared is now explaining to him, your dad tweeted that he's going to want that jacket. Jared is saying, take the jacket. Shador said, for real? He said, yes. This is your jacket now. Okay, I got you. Yeah, serious? Yes.
I gotta take this?
That happened. Yeah, all right. Shador now is looking at it like, seriously? I gotta now bring this around?
Can you hold it until after the game? Where's the coat closet?
That was great play-by-play.
That
too,
was great play-by-play. Of he even did like lip reading and everything in this play-by-play.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got a selfie afterwards.
Yeah.
I think Greg Anthony was a big deal at UNLV right around the same time Deion was at Miami. Some crossover.
That's an all-time clout move right there.
Oh, big like, time.
You can just fire off a tweet and
get
what work done.
It's amazing.
And giving your jacket away is pretty cloudy, too. You know?
Yeah. You can have like, that. You like that?
Oh, go ahead.
I got plenty more of that.
Yeah,
I
hooked
my
up Prime last night on TV. Might have saw it.
Prime probably shot him over some of his sunglasses or something. Said, you know, a little thank you.
I said, man, I got mannequins in my closet, brother. My closet looks like Dillard's right now.
Well, you know, the problem with giving Deion a jacket, though, isn't he on record about how he's a one-time use guy?
I don't know. Is he? Is he one of those? Is he just pop tags and that's it?
I know, like, when he used to be on NFL Network and stuff, they would always kind of be like, yeah, like, Deion's new, you know, new look. You've never seen Deion in this before. So it's like you're giving that away. You're Greg. You're thinking, I could get years of work out of this jacket.
Yeah, for sure.
Prime might only give you a couple hours.
Maybe he'll shoot it back to you when he's done. There you go. Return the favor. But it's tailored to his body now.
It's got his sweat stains in it and pits. Yeah. All right, last one. Yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessings. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. We have a worship ministry right here struggling with a new song.
The verse, and there's also going to be a new chorus, which sounds something like this. Glory to God. Whoop, that's not like glory to God.
That's not it either.
Nope.
Is that right?
Nope.
No glory.
It's nope. Not. It's not right.
No glory.
There it is.
Here we go.
Janessa has it for us.
Oh, there you go, Janessa.
Glory to God. So
what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know what we're going to do real quick here? Just turn to the person and welcome them really quickly like we've just started together today. Just kidding. Just kidding. You're in the wrong key.
Oh.
Play a D.
I love it when church guys get impatient up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we doing here?
They didn't want to listen to Janessa. I think Janessa was in the right key.
Yeah. She was, yeah. Yes. Yeah, they must have felt threatened by Janessa's talent. Is it Jerry Jones, our one-time champ? Is it KMC Masterpiece, Hagee on advice from a lawyer? Is it Coach Prima with Greg Anthony's jacket? Worship ministry struggling with the new song? I'm going to go with Jerry and the Hojo.
Yeah, you and me both.
Lucius.
Yeah, man, that is really good.
Walter.
The champ.
Brian.
Coach Prime.
By a score of 4-1. Still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's AI Jerry Jones on why he fired Mike McCarthy. He's built like a pork chop.
Hey, I played that Lou Holtz audio. Like, I had to put it in the system.
Yeah.
That man needs a bib. Yeah, that was all over the place.
It's spitting and drooling.
Yeah. You got to lay out a tarp if you're going to have to do a podcast.
You got to set the room up like Dexter might.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Man.
Whoa. Just kill room for an interview.
It's nasty. You can't black like that room, I'm telling you.
We got Sean Merriman coming up at 3 o'clock. NFL news today next, Wolchuk.
Yes, two more names the Cowboys could consider. And what's the hottest divisional round ticket? That's next.
All right, we'll be talking football with Sean Merriman coming up here at 3 o'clock. Time now for Wolchuk's NFL news today. Take it away, Wolchuk.
All right, you guys want to feel old?
Already do.
I've been waking up with my right heel for the last like 2 weeks. It doesn't hurt me at all during the day, but I wake up in the first probably 5 minutes of the day. It's like, why does my heel hurt?
Okay, so you're feeling
I old, hope.
So I don't really need I much more than that.
I think I hope so much. You have like a bunion or something like that.
He's got gout.
Do you have a heel bunion?
Like a heel gout?
But I'm just saying some foot problem because all the grief you give me for that.
No, it would be, I would have earned it and deserved it.
How old are you, man?
I'll be 31 in a couple of weeks. Thanks for asking.
How beat up do you feel right now with your back and everything else you deal with?
Honestly, this chair has been really getting it done.
Good.
So I'm great.
So I saw this getting ready to enter college football class of 2027, Donovan McNabb Jr.
Oh, wow.
Class of 2026, Devin Fitzgerald.
Wait, is McNabb Jr. a quarterback? Is he a giant-ass quarterback?
Wide receiver, 5'11", 160.
Okay.
Not Devin giant Fitzgerald, or wide receiver, 6'2", 185. Bastion Vandenbosch.
Kyle Vandenbosch,
yeah.
Or, dude, he used to wear the red-colored contacts or whatever, and looked like a possessed demon out there hounding quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Kyle Vandenbosch.
Incredible. Kyle Vandenbosch, I loved. Underrated.
How big is his son?
6'1", 190, class of 2026, linebacker.
All right.
And then Dalen Sharper. That is Darren Sharper's son. 6'3", 200, wide receiver. Jeez. So already a lot of players that like we watched growing up, their kids are now up, and I think Antonio Cromartie Jr. has also committed to Florida State recently. So this is just every year this is going to start happening. So just get ready for that. All right, let's get to Cowboys news. If you did miss it, Cowboys scheduled to speak with Kellen Moore tomorrow. It's going to be a virtual interview, can't last more than 3 hours according to NFL league rules. Now I saw our friend Jory Epstein, Yahoo Sports. She put out a video yesterday. Two other names that we hadn't necessarily. I mean, we brought up one of them, kind of kicked it around, but on the Washington staff that she says maybe you should keep an eye out for.
I think there are two other people in the Washington building who have been factors in what the Commanders have done with Jaden Daniels. And I think both of them will be on the Cowboys call list. They'll have to decide whether they want to interview, and they'll also have to wait until after this week to do that. But I would say the first is Anthony Lynn, and the second one is Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson, I've heard from multiple people, has been a factor in terms of Jaden Daniels' development. He was the Eagles offensive coordinator last year. That did not go well, but also a lot of things didn't go well for the Eagles last year. And I think part of that's a Super Bowl hangover. But what's interesting is that when we think about the Cowboys, and I talked about this Monday, Jerry wants some degree of familiarity. That could be with the Cowboys. It also, because maximizing Dak is so important, could be with Dak. Well, Brian Johnson coached Dak at Mississippi State, and they have stayed very close since. I mean, they'll still grab dinner when they're in town, things like that. They're in touch. So he is someone who has seen Dak. And also, when you think about it, like, I've talked to people in the organization who believe, and you can say what you want about Dak's age and his health, that he does need to run a little bit more the way that Jalen Hurts does, obviously not with the exact same element for the Cowboys to maximize their offensive scheme. Well, when did he most do that? In college at Mississippi State. Who was the coach in the building then? Brian Johnson.
That's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So Brian Johnson, good relationship.
Like what she's doing, just getting more names out
Yeah, just throwing it out. Anthony Lynn.
And good reasons, too.
Absolutely. And Anthony Lynn's a DFW guy, you know, went to McKinney High School and then has head coaching experience, which Jerry said he's wanted. Now, his head coaching, it wasn't a great tenure the previous time he was a head coach. It did not go well with the Chargers from 2017 to 2020, but he's been an offensive coordinator. Certainly the running game's been pretty darn good there in Washington. Brian Johnson, that soured and filthy last year. Maybe he's just not great when it comes to calling plays, but he's still a good offensive mind and good coach. Maybe that ends up working. Just two more names to throw out there. But the stuff about Dak running I found very interesting because we've talked about Jory's plugged in with Dak. And Dak has said he feels like he's going to come back and be, you know, back to where he was physically. I'm being hesitant. I just got to see it. Maybe I'm totally wrong that he's just going to be a pocket passer. Maybe he's feeling like, yeah, the mobility's not going to be a problem. I'll be able to run more. And if that's true, if he's capable, that should get you a little bit excited because we were all calling for him to use his legs a little bit more if he was capable of it.
You know, I think he can come back from this injury just like he was last year. You know, it's ultimately the compound fracture in his lower leg that took away probably 20% of his athleticism, and now his age has robbed him of another 10% or so. And he was never a dynamic, explosive athlete. He was a Tim Tebow style of runner. And, you know, the day that he ultimately ran against the Giants, even going back to that day in 2020, we were asking him run more, right? And the team was in trouble that day against the Giants, so he starts running. The injury this year, we're asking him run more. He's at a career low of run attempts, right? What did he do? He starts running, and the offense all of a sudden has an added element to it. It looks a lot more dangerous. I'm dropping back to pass. Oh, I don't see anything I really like. I'm running. Hamstring injury.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think that, you know, and when he was coming back from the compound fracture, he's like, yeah, I'm 100%. You know, guys, I'm not talking about this anymore. Media, please stop asking me about it because I've totally moved on. I'm 100%. He wasn't, you know. So when he's talking about it, he's using the power of positive thinking and positivity to sort of fuel him and expect the most of himself. But as an observer, as a fan, you know, there's if he starts running, I'm going to expect injury.
I am too, until we see otherwise, right? So, I mean, yeah. I'm just being cautious. I'm optimistic. Like, hopefully he does come back and is able to do that. But I don't know physically that his body's going to allow him to do that anymore. We'll see moving forward. Now, Lamar is getting ready for these frigid cold temperatures there in Buffalo as the Ravens are going to take on the Bills. And nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo, Bills.
Buffalo Bills.
So they've asked him, hey, you going to use these gloves? Well, he laughed that off. He said, I tried it in practice. I was horrible. I leave that to Teddy Two Gloves. So don't expect any gloves in the frigid temps for Lamar Action Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, after the horror story from Cam Chancellor with the sweaty gloves causing frostbite.
And when I said that, I thought, or when I read it, I thought about the story you gave us yesterday, the picture that we saw, and was like, man, maybe he saw that too, and said, F the gloves. You know,
thanks, but no thanks, dude. Let that be a lesson to all the glove wearers during this frigid football weekend.
Be careful. Zay Flowers has an outside chance to face the Bills in the divisional round. They're monitoring him. I hope he can play. I want best on best here. If he has any, even if it's like, hey, I'm on a limited pitch count with that sprained knee, and it's a tough injury to come back from, but I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful we get some Zay Flowers.
Yeah, that's tough, dude. Yeah, I mean, you feel like for both teams, this is a all-hands-on-deck situation. Yeah. You don't want to be down anybody, but it's tough to imagine that he could be overly useful, you know?
Which of the games do you think has the hottest ticket, and which one do you think has the least hottest ticket, the frigid ticket?
I think the probably the Lions.
Lions the hottest.
Lions are the hottest, and I'm going to say Kansas City tickets are the frigid ones.
The frigid ones?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Commanders and Lions, average ticket price right now, $993. That's the hottest.
That's the average? About a G-Bird?
Average ticket price to get in, about a grand.
Rapid fan bases.
Yeah.
You know, especially at this point, the excitement's off the charts. They'll never be this geeked about their team.
Yeah, I mean, the Commanders haven't been this far since, what, 91? I mean, it's been a long, long time for them. And then the least expensive is Ravens Bills at $286. And that maybe that's weather related. I was really stunned to hear that average price, $286.
Maybe you kind of feel like that maybe all those Buffalo tickets are accounted for. That there's
the season ticket holders are going.
Yeah, they're just going, you know?
Yeah, so that could be. And they're not giving up the tickets.
They're not giving them up, so there's not many. But you might get people that just don't want to sit through that. I couldn't imagine Buffalo fans not wanting to sit through that. You've carried that thing the whole year, and then you're going to decide you don't want to sit through a playoff game because it's 10 degrees.
Those are two cold weather teams. You know, those fans are kind of used to the frigid temperatures. Rams Eagles is $511. That's the average ticket price in filthy. And then the Texans and Chiefs is $342. That's the average ticket price there.
Well, Chuck, the 817 says, now I know you're being hopeful over there.
Mm-hmm.
Now he knows about this avulsion fracture. It sounds like, says, these can be very limiting on range of motion and mobility depending on severity, surgery results, and recovery process. Assuming best case scenario, Dak is definitely going to be limited on mobility, more limited as a result of coming back from this injury. Wow, I guess we'll hope for the best. You know, I guess that's all you can do, but you need to make sure you're coming up with a great plan to give him a good offensive line. If Tyler Guyton doesn't look significantly better next year when you're in camp and early in the season, maybe you got to trade for a real left tackle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the difference of Dak playing when Tyron Smith was healthy and not healthy for like the last 4 years of Tyron's career was massive. And the year that he set the league record for interceptions, Tyron was out, you know? So I think you got to get real serious about starting to build him the kind of line they envisioned for the last couple of years of Romo's career. And that's why they really did Smith and Frederick and Martin and, you know, Ron Leary. And they had this great offensive line thinking this is going to keep Tony upright and not injured because he was going through the injury part of his career. So, you know, hopefully that steers him in that direction and it doesn't cost the defense too much while they're in the process of doing that. Lights out, Sean Merriman coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan.